Detroit News, Lions beat writer Justin Rogers. Whenever I'm bored out of my mind and I've hit the end of the internet and I've got just nothing else to do, I listen to Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who have never dropped a Matthew Stafford pass, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 283. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How are you doing, brother man?
I'm so excited, man. We are heading into week one. I'm pumped for this season.
Yeah, week one. Okay, a lot to talk about today. We're going to do a quick review of the Lions, Bears, and where the fan base is at. This is something I've never seen before in a long, long, long time of Lions football. So let's talk a little bit about that. That'll be exciting. We're going to talk about some of the Lions news that's broken this week since the game. We're going to touch on Coach Patricia's tenure, talk a little bit about what folks are talking about and thinking about there, because I think it's a little different than where the anger is. We're also going to look ahead to the Lions and Packer games, take you around the division, and a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Case, are you ready to go, my man?
It's only 52 weeks until another week.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements first. Help us out. Check us out on the Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from...
Wow.
That's right. And of course, our very first donor, Mathis, love you, brother. And Brian Burkheiser from iPrevailBand.com. Check it out. Great band, one of the best bands you're going to find anywhere, and always a big partner and lover of the show. We will have some more stuff to talk about with them shortly. Even they don't know about it yet. But we talk about all these guys because they're big donors in the Patreon. They help us out. We love them. And they're all there in Slack with Case, me, Riz, Sandman. Everybody's there hanging out in Slack. It's the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. And I am telling you, you are starving for that right now if you're trying to talk about the Lions with anybody, anywhere on the internet. Join the Slack. You can get in for as little as $1 a month. Now, look, I'll tell you straight up, we always reserve the right to say, hey, thanks for the dollar, but no. but we haven't had to. We haven't had to yet because we've had a pretty good group of people. Had some borderlines this last week, and I get it. Everybody's in a bad place, or a lot of people are in a bad place, but this is really the best place. I mean, people can be frustrated together, angry. We can talk about it, but nobody is really, you know, shacking on another guy. This is all good people talking sports about their favorite team and what they think needs to fix it. It's a great place to talk about the Lions. You can get involved by, like I said, as little as a dollar a month donation to patreon.com/Detroit Lions podcast. That helps the show, help us do the travel and all the other stuff we do. So everyone takes part in that. Thank you so much. There are like 250 really, really smart people plus Wisco. So it's a good chat. All right. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/the Detroit Lions podcast. Check us on Twitter at DET Lions podcast. Make sure you do that. Do that follow thing. We love those follows. We need a couple more from you folks. We love it when you help us out like that. DET Lions podcast, the very best place to see Case
with no pants on.
That's right. Daily. All right. Also, subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions podcast, youtube.com/Detroit Lions podcast. You get on there and subscribe, hit the bell, all that stuff. You get instant notifications when we go live. We're doing three shows a week now. We're doing our weekly podcast. We're doing our Friday show with Tony and Jeff. I haven't heard back from Tony yet this week, but don't worry. It's definitely a more often than not thing that he will be here. So we got that on Fridays, and then Sundays, of course, the post-game show. So we're pumping out the content. You want to see it. You want to be there. Head on over. youtube.com/Detroit Lions podcast. And those subscriptions, I mean, guys, you guys did a great job this last couple days. I think we picked up another like 60 subscribers in a day. But, you know, we're just over 2,000 here. We're looking for that 100,000 plaque. So, you know, friends, neighbors, cats, dogs, make extra accounts. Let's you guys can do better. Those are rookie numbers. All right. Fantasy football. Yeah, we've already talked about that. It was a good week for some, tough week for others. We're going to get some good feedback on that. We want to get a week or two, three under our belt to really be able to start showing some data on that. Review us, though. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, wherever you find us. 5 stars. Please, 5 stars. If you got something you don't like, hit on over to the subreddit. We'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. And if you say, no, you guys are jackasses and I don't like it, you can give us the 4 stars then. But let's figure out what it is and see if it's something we can fix to make it so that you can give us a 5-star review, because those are forever. Those last forever. It's like love. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or call us in the Lions line, 9933-LIONS. 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And the first most fun and most exciting thing comes from Wes. Wes Vikas, thank you so much, man. He just hit us.
he liked my hat.
He said it's too close to an FTP hat, but thank you for the super chat, Wes. That's awesome, dude. I mean, that's a great way to start off after it's been a hard week.
Yeah.
It's been a hard week for Lions fans. And give me a second. I got to manually do the lights here, buddy. We'll get you. That's the Get Case a New Hat Fund. There you go. We got the Super chat action. All right, let's get into it. Tough weekend for the Lions, game one. And there's a lot that happened, right? And I'm actually really stunned by how off the wall the reaction was. I mean, I expect people to be angry, and it's so frustrating to lose that way. Then again, I remember not many years ago saying, my God, if we could just at least be close in these games instead of getting blown out all the time, it would feel better at least. And then we've had this year and a half year of start of heartbreaks in the last quarter, and it's like, I don't think it's better. I think it hurts just differently. It's been a tough go to get through these late kind of late game crashes, for lack of a better term. Any argument there, Case?
No. It was rough, man. It was really rough.
Yeah.
It was the first game I watched, first football game that my now girlfriend watched with me, and
just girlfriend.
I don't think she was ready. I don't think she was ready for the level of volume and swearing and emotion that was going to come out of me at that moment. Yeah. So
it's more than girlfriend, my friend. It's housemate.
I mean, she's got scratches on her leg from the cat. The cat
scared.
And I jumped up and started yelling. Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. So we're gonna touch on a couple things. There's a couple things that are helpful. The post game show is really that immediate reaction, and unfortunately, a lot of times we try to be cathartic. I think we were as stunned as everybody else. Additionally, I mean, for me, this last week, being the first week of the season, I had like 57 different things. I don't think there was a part where I watched more than 2 plays in a row without like an interruption, and I wasn't really able to just sit and focus. So I mean, I watched the game, but it was always with something else going on. So that was a little bit frustrating. But here we are, right? This is what happened. We walk out and this is where we were. The post game show is about, you know, that catharsis or celebration and talking about what we saw in the moment, what happened. Now we've had time to look at it again. We've had time to think about this and formulate some better opinions, some more data, some more information. And we're going to go with that with you guys. We're going to talk it through, and we'll talk about what we think looks like next week. And then on Friday's show, we'll get some experts in here, and we'll get really focused in after we get all the week's news and see what happens. So I want to start off, and I want to start off with, I think, really one of the most crucial plays of the game. I don't know if you'll agree, but you know, everyone knows Detroit's reputation as far as football success, right? And how hungry the fans are. And I mean, it's hard for a player to come in. You've got to, I think player, Matt, you see it in Matthew Stafford. He said it multiple times. Kelly said it. There's nothing more that he wants than to bring this city a championship, period, full stop. That's what he really, I mean, he, it's, I don't know if it's a hero syndrome or he's going to run. I mean, but there's a sense of achievement, and here's a guy who's achieved, frankly, almost everything he's wanted in his life that we can tell on a public scale, right? Everyone has personal challenge along the way, but he's been able to just knock it out of the park and have like just almost everything, right? And this is something that's eluding him, and it's his craft, it's his job, right? Where you're working towards something and you just can't quite get there no matter how hard you work. It's got to be frustrating as heck. I wonder how much of this plays on players, and I'm specifically referring now to Jamie Collins. Do players come to Detroit and try too hard? I mean, they can't, every one of them can't seem to forget the rules, right? They know the rules. TJ Lang didn't start holding everybody. And I'm not going to go with the whole, the refs are fixed. We'll talk about Cleat later. But I'm not going to go into that whole thing, right? But everything, every time a player who was at some point great comes here, something like this happens. And here's a guy, Jamie Collins, who was just crucial to this game and how we played this game, and the dumbest penalty. You look at the slow motion, it looks like the ref kind of shoves his shoulder forward into him. I mean, if somebody was doing that to me, I would lean into it as well, because my next step would be to fucking strike back. But that's not what he's doing there. That's not the ref did.
Right.
But either way, it was cheap. It still lies in Jamie Collins.
It was really dumb by Jamie to even make contact at all. It really was, but like it was a misunderstanding.
Even if he
wasn't trying
to
be aggressive with the ref, I don't think he was just trying to like emphasize. And that's not the way to do that. But I completely agree. And we had talked before we started the show about topics, but we hadn't actually gone into our feelings on it. But that was the exact same point I wanted to bring up. Is it's like, it's so absurd how many times this has happened to a guy who who was incredible with their former team. And TJ Lang is a great example of it, but there's lots of other guys like that who then come here and get put under a different level of scrutiny.
I don't know if it's scrutiny though. I wonder if maybe maybe this isn't quite right, but they're trying too hard. There's a certain level of swagger. He wants to be a leader and he wanted to show, hey ref, no, that's wrong. Man, you got to look for that, right? He was showing the team. He's trying to be a leader out there. And in what he may have gotten away with before, or maybe he wouldn't have tried before because he didn't have to be quite so, feel like he had to be so much of a, like, take a charge of this and help push it forward himself kind of a thing. I just feel like this is something that happens to players when they come here, that they really do want to saddle this on the shoulders, because who wouldn't? Tell me, seriously, who wouldn't want to be the guy?
As a fan, that's how I entered my fandom.
Who wouldn't want to be the guy that puts the teams on their shoulders and wins it? Who wouldn't want to be that player? And you come in and you're supposed to be a guy like Jamie Collins and a defense that's had a hard time. Jared Davis is taking so much shit. You want to be the guy. I can do this. I've succeeded everywhere. Just like Matthew Stafford, right? I've succeeded everywhere. Yet this thing here eludes, and maybe there's something to it. I don't know. Did you want to comment?
No, I agree with you completely.
Okay.
It's rare, but.
Yeah, no, it's something that we do. All right, let's keep going. I love Jamie Collins. I don't think it was malicious.
No,
again, I think he just screwed the F up, and the ref helped push it to where it got. But you got to own it. You got to own it, right? He did it, and that's where it is.
I'm not sure I've ever seen a level of disbelief on a player's face that I did at that moment. Mm-hmm. But.
Welcome to Detroit, Jamie. As dumb as we say that is, we still love the shit out of you, because I think I know what you were after there.
Right, no.
So there we go. All right. Wes just started the let's get Case a better hat. If you want to hit us in the super chat, you can do that. I love that. It's down at the bottom, a little dollar sign in the bottom of the chat box. All right. The next thing I want to, we got a couple of voicemails, and normally we don't do a whole lot of these at the beginning of the show, but we had a couple of really good ones. I'm going to start out with one, and I think this one might surprise everyone a little bit. It cracked me up when I got it, but let's go ahead and hit this one right here.
Yeah, Detroit Lions podcast. This is somebody you know. This is the Riz. I'm calling in. I got to get this off my chest. I can't come onto the show on Tuesday. Apologies. But I have to react. I got to get this off my chest. By the way, I've been drinking. What am I drinking? I am drinking some form of Marzen Oktoberfest beer. I've had a few, so I can't remember exactly what the brand is. But we'll get back to the Lions. That's what's important here. Important is that Matt Patricia is not coaching well. And I want to specifically focus on the defensive side of the football here. They were playing pretty well with Trufant and Coleman in, but once they went out, you're forced with Daryl Roberts and you're forced with, oh my God, it was just awful. They couldn't cover in man. Normally most good coaches would make an adjustment there and say, hey, you know what? These guys, they can't play the way the starters do. I need to make an adjustment. We either need to sit in zone or give them more help or rush the passer. Try to ease the burden on the coverage. But no, Patricia asked them to do these same exact things that the starters do. There's a reason why these guys are not starters. Patricia doesn't understand that. This was a problem last year as well. I so desperately wanted to believe that he had turned a new corner, that he was learning from his mistakes, that he would self-scout and realize, oh my God, even though I'm a mastermind, allegedly, on defense, I actually coach like an idiot. Well, the idiot came out again in week one, and it led Mitch Trubisky, make him look like a fool. That can't happen again. Chris, Case, I so desperately want Matt Patricia to work. I like him personally. I wanted it to work, but damn, man, it ain't working. I don't expect him to get fired anytime soon. I'm not calling for him to get fired immediately, but I'll say this. This team, it's so disappointing because they did do things to help this team and make it look better and give Patricia more tools to do better, but he just doesn't know how to do it. He's like me trying to, you know, fix a clogged toilet with a sock. He just doesn't understand what the plunger is for. It's very frustrating. I miss you guys. Go Lions.
You know what? It's like he's here because he talked forever. I'm teasing. That's always on me. So there's a lot of pieces to that. Why don't you go ahead and react first, Case, and I'll just jump in here and there.
Yeah, and I do agree. You know, I do think the biggest failing of this particular game was Patricia not being able to adjust to the losses, the talent losses on the defense. I think that was largely on him to not have backup plans in place, just to try to keep plowing forward with what wasn't working at that time. That's tough. I also think he was put in a monumentally difficult spot with all of those losses. Like Sandman and I didn't completely agree. It is, once again, I would like to reiterate, if anyone is watching the postgame show, I don't disagree with him. There is schematic problems here, okay? And they need to be worked on. Whether or not they'll be fixed, that's a whole other, like, how much do I want to bet? $5. that's what I can afford. That's what's in my bank account. So,
he's begging for the
head. It's tough to deny that he did get put in an extremely difficult position.
I would say absolutely. If you're running cornerback 4, 5, and 6,
yeah, man, I remember that 2011 defense.
Bad.
That 2011 defense that was good until we lost our entire secondary. And that's a tall ask for any team. That isn't to say that, like Jeff said, that there aren't ways to improve the scheme around that to lessen that impact. There are. I'm not going to say that I know exactly what they are because that's not my job. But I don't know. I do think it was. It's.
I'll tell you. I got.
You
some...
can come down hard on him. Hang on one sec. Mm-hmm. You can come down hard on Patricia. And I understand, and I believe me. I am frustrated, extremely frustrated with him at the moment too. That's not lost on me.
Yeah, no. But I think there's a whole lot of things going on here, right? And we'll get into, I think the biggest problem amongst fans is reading way too much into one game. Because the Vikings should write off their season today, and so should Tampa Bay by the logic that people are using here. But we'll talk about that. There's a couple things that people, right? And people just aren't thinking about. Okay, so next gen stats. All three of Trubisky's touchdown passes yesterday in the fourth quarter came within a half yard of separation or less. Okay, so there was coverage. There's people there. Okay, that's the first time in league history that that's ever happened.
Oh, Jesus, that's
another Lions record,
Lions,
right?
Wouldn't yeah, be the and, ones to be on the receiving ends of that. But
and just so you know, all three of Mitch's throws were in the top five of the lowest likelihood for completions. So you've got like the magic, the planets have now aligned in the lowest likelihood completions. Mitch frickin' Trubisky lands perfect frickin' balls, and we got three times with guys within half yards of the guy they're covering. Really crazy luck and good throws, and I hate to say that about Trubisky. Let's talk about the Bears. The Bears, we laugh at them a lot, and I think we've undersold them a little bit, Case, in that really the worst part about the Bears is their quarterback. He's mm-hmm. still a top 35 NFL level quarterback.
I won't argue with that.
There's still, well, maybe three that could start.
It's hard to argue with that after
He is in real life. He plays in the NFL. He's at that point, and he's, you know, blind squirrel bound to get a nut. And unfortunately, that lined up at exactly the
it
right
has
time.
Continued to line up, which is why I think like it's tough to be a fan of a team where these kind of things happen this frequently and not start to look at try to find common denominators. And it's not that I blame fans for that at all, because I mean, generally speaking, when you see a trend start to form, it's you look for the common denominators. I get that. Sometimes, and I don't know, I'm not suggesting, you know, necessarily otherwise, but I do think that Mitch Trubisky has had some true luck against the Lions in his career against us. Yeah.
Now I gotta want a couple more things here that I got, right? Cephas is an example. He derailed two drives early straight up on his own.
He was missing.
He was not so ready to play.
And he got so lucky he didn't get picked off twice.
He was a part of our offense. We had game plan to use him, and he wasn't ready. We didn't have a preseason. We didn't have, you know, enough of a training camp to get him ready. You expect that with a rookie, but the way the team was built and the way it's now been built with the newer players, including Cephas, we had to put a guy in there that obviously wasn't ready to play a role that he was set for. So that happened. Tavai didn't play well at all. So I'm just going to tell you, Tavai messed up. But the problem was, Tavai didn't play well mostly when Collins was gone. And I think Collins is really the linchpin to what happened, because Collins' coverage was key to this defense. And then when cornerbacks started dying on us, you just ran it thinner and thinner. So now you were back to, you have a line like last year that can't run, can't cover the pass. Right. And now you're down to, what is it, 4 and 5 cornerbacks? There's no team in the NFL that's going to be able to survive that insane luck that Trubisky had on those throws, as we learned from next gen stats, with their 5 and 6 cornerbacks and no coverage from the linebacker core. It wasn't even that we couldn't adjust the scheme. It's that the key players of the scheme were gone. The scheme relies on cornerbacks. We built a boatload of cornerbacks up. We are strong at cornerback. We would have walked in today or Saturday night or Sunday morning and said the cornerback is the strongest position aside from quarterback on this Detroit line, at least from depth perspective.
But we also walked away from, you know,
strong and deep. We'll put those two together, right? We would have said that on that day walking in. Absolutely, that's an absolute strength. And then all of a sudden, oh, injury to Okuda. Injury, injury, injury. And it just decimated that group. And now we're playing with the middle school peewee league, right? I mean, it just wasn't set up for us. Now, could we have won that game? Absolutely. And I have no no hate for Swift on that drop at all.
Yeah, we could, I feel if he like ma- that, if, that's just a scapegoat situation, yep, 100%.
If he makes that catch, though, the whole narrative is different walking out of this game. People want to say, like, oh, yeah, that was close. We shouldn't have. But the level of vitriol and hate that we have going on right now in Detroit sports fandom about the Lions is off the charts.
There's a lot of other places where hatred should be placed in that game. Not necessarily death, you know, the kind of like death ready type stuff that, but Swift, man,
that poor kid,
that is a tough ask for a guy in his very first game. It wasn't an easy catch. It was a catchable catch, but it wasn't an easy catch.
Yep.
And if you're going to come down a guy that hard, his very first outing, that's you don't really deserve him to become great. And I know that I shouldn't say that because that's going to piss a lot of people off. But
right.
If you react to your rookies like that when they make a rookie mistake, yeah, you are just feeding the fire of the why don't more players want to play here kind of thing.
Right. So. Yeah. Don't make it a worse place. Because that's not helping. And then you get, you're blaming the fans. It's not the fans' fault. Look, no, we're not. Just you want to make it a nice place. I'll tell you, Stafford's runs. Stafford did not look like Matthew Stafford. He obviously hasn't played in 10 months. Somebody in the subreddit said, and I think they overstated when they said it. Here's what they said. Stafford, it was... See the wind, 2393. And I don't think he meant this in a malicious way or as it sounds. Stafford deserves more criticism for his performance Sunday than he's gotten. I'll say, I don't know if it's criticism, but Stafford was not the Stafford that anybody expected to see in this game. I'm going to chalk it up to 10 months and no preseason as well. He wasn't able to read through his progressions. His ball wasn't on the way it usually is. His running was a lot slower than I remember him, maybe as far back as his rookie and second year. He was lumbering, made a couple of plays with his feet and stuff, but he just wasn't the Matt Stafford that I expected to show up. Is this permanent? I don't think so. I don't think that, you know, Matt Stafford is washed up, so please don't put those words in my mouth. I just think that this really was the preseason game that the Detroit Lions needed.
I mean, the only way that I would remotely disagree with that is just that I'm not totally shocked he was rusty. I mean, compare his game to Philip Rivers' game, and he was way, way better. You know what I mean? Like, it could have been a lot worse, but I'm not surprised it was a little bit rusty. And now, one of the pivotal moments of the game was the interception. Sucked.
That was a wolf.
But that wasn't a... That's one of those interceptions where I really have a hard time blaming the quarterback too badly. Was it thrown into very tight coverage? Sure.
Double
coverage. That's going to happen. That happens a lot with the Lions. Mm-hmm. I think he has to throw a lot of those passes with Lions. I think they also complete a lot of passes with the Lions. If you watch Danny Amendola a couple of times over the middle, I mean, it's amazing that he's able to get the ball in there, and there aren't a lot of quarterbacks who can do that, but he has to do that because that's the system that the offense works in.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have the most separation, and even especially missing our number one wide receiver, we don't have, you know, we still have a deep you know, receiving core, and I'm very happy with where they are. I'm happy with some of what I saw to Cephas, although don't be surprised at all either that he made a few rookie mistakes. But I mean, Trubisky threw a similar pass. They got bounced up in the air and our guy dropped it.
Yeah.
Their guy didn't drop it.
Yep.
And that's the kind of thing that's...
There was a whole series of things, right? And I just... So there's a couple more I want to kind of point out, a couple things from the game. The right side of the line held up well. They did. The Bears tried to exploit the problems on the right side that we had.
Yeah, I was frustrated with a couple of penalties.
Yeah, there, but our rook at guard, boy... He stood there like a freaking champ, man. That could have been an absolute dumpster fire. That could have been a trailer park fire. I mean, that could have just been an absolute horrible, horrible situation. And you know what we're not doing is yelling about the right side of the line. No one's complaining about that. That's like no one's even mentioned that. And in all the complaints and everything going on, that That's a freaking huge win for this team. I'm just telling you right now, that is a huge win. And then the other piece I want to make
show up that's all. I mean, that's my hypothetical fan response.
But. Yeah. Check on the chat real quick. On our chat, not the YouTube one. ADP is the Lions' best back right now, or at least he was on Sunday. No questions asked. Carry on. I'm going to tell you, I'm the guy that's not saying to give. I'm saying I don't give up after one game, and I'll tell you a whole bunch of reasons why not to. But boy, Carry on has me right. If you're going to be mad about Patricia, you've got to be ready to throw Carry on out the door as a player, or trade him, or get something for him, because he did not perform. And it's funny. He's I'm using Ash's words here because he did a really, really good breakdown here. He's in exactly how much the line gets him kind of a back, right? Swift is that plus a yard or two. And all day ADP, he weaves through traffic to create yards. It was, and I'm using his words, it was beautiful. And he'd forgotten, and I did too, how nice it was to watch a running back consistently make good decisions. That's Ash from the chat. That was it. That's what we saw with Adrian Peterson on the field. And then what we saw with Adrian Peterson is during the game, real smiles, real competitiveness. And then he took Swift under his arm after that play at the end of the game and talked him up, and coach did too. And I got to tell you, that's both super, super important and something we haven't seen a lot of. So hate on coach all you want. He went there to protect a pretty significant investment to talk him up and get him back. He's still a little, evidently he's a little shook after all, you know, after dropping that, but the team is trying to hold him and bring him up, man. And we do not want to break this guy now. He's an important part of our future. Kerryon I'm really getting, love the guy, right? Again, we talk about him as pieces in the team and not people in this context, because as a person, he seems like an awesome dude, and people gave him an unruly rash of shit on Twitter today. And I think you people are trash that did. But he just doesn't maybe seem to have what the team needs. I hope he can bring it back, but we'll see. He may be a finished piece.
I think Kerryon has a very unique running style, and there was some Le'Veon Bell in him. But in order to make that style work to the level that it could work, the team has to be built around that, and they are not all. And to add to that, he's lost burst. You know, in his rookie year, we saw what could happen when it worked, and it was great. And it was one of the most excited I have been about a Lions running back. I mean, I since best, obviously, but
God, he was great.
But I mean, if he's lost that burst, and the team is no longer focused around making that work for him, it's not going to work. And he's not the guy here. He could be the guy maybe somewhere. He should just go back up Le'Veon Bell everywhere Le'Veon Bell goes, and make a living doing that. But
yeah. I think Swift has a good future as long as we don't break him. And the one thing Detroit's known for is breaking quarterbacks, goalies, and running backs. Uh-huh. Barry was stronger than Detroit ever was. So hopefully DeAndre can come up and do that too. Let me hit another call. We got two more to get to. This one's from, well, he'll tell you who he is.
Hey, Chris and Case. I'm a ghost who here from the subreddit. I know a lot of people in the subreddit that recognize my username probably see me as a big Patricia homer. And, you know, I would say that that's probably partially true. I'd say that I definitely have, you know, been biased in that I want him to be the answer so we can stop looking for new coaches. And I do think that, you know, he seems to be a very detail oriented guy. He has, you know, a great background in terms of, you know, what he's done in the league. But you know, his defensive philosophy has always been, you know, questionable to me, and his conservative play calling is always something that I've always, you know, not liked in the NFL. I thought Caldwell did way too much conservative play calling as well, I hate the idea of just trying to eke out a win by 3 points, and that's all that matters when you could have, you know, won by 2 touchdowns if you just kept going. So, you know, there's a there's definitely some parts I don't like about him, but there's also plenty as a coach, as a leader of men and stuff that I do like about him. I think he's changed a lot in terms of his leadership over the years. But if he can't stop, you know, blowing fourth quarter leads, especially, you know, when it's partially due to the play calling changing because they want to preserve a 3-score lead with 10 minutes to go so they start running the ball more or start being more predictable, then we just need to let him go because obviously this is a trend, right? That being said, I am so fucking sick of all the people on Reddit, on Lions Reddit and Lions Twitter that cling to stupid BS things about Patricia and use it as a reason to hate him more. Of course, the latest is the clip of the answer he said to Michael Rothstein, who, of course, you know, Patricia has a feud with. They do not like each other. And he asked Patricia a question. It was a valid question. And if it came from any other reporter, probably would have been, you know, he would have given a better answer. But he started out with a little retort because you could tell he was flustered by the fact that Michael Rothstein got to ask him the question that was a, you know, that was a good question. And he had to sit there and answer it and you know, sort of kiss the ring, if you will. And he did not like that. So he tried to do a little retort about how he called the best fourth quarter comeback player or whatever. That was obviously a petty moment from him and Michael Rothstein. But it's not indicative of what that entire press conference was, nor is it indicative of what Patricia, who Patricia is as a person. He started the press conference and he ended the press conference, and everything throughout the middle of the press conference is about how he has to do a better job coaching. The players need to execute. It is everybody's fault. Nobody can deny that. So it's funny to me. I'm going to get cut off here, and I know it, so that's yep. Fine, whatever. But it's funny that there's a political correctness within sports media that.
Boop. And that was it. reminiscent of Malcolm. I just want to kind of say, I don't know if it's necessarily a feud between Rothstein and Patricia. The way that Rothstein asked that question was truly assholish. It could have been much, much better put together. Okay, number one. Number two, yes, they do have a history. Together, I think they shook through that and got over it, though. But like everything, everyone wants to focus on. Everyone's mad right now, so they're just trying to tear apart anything they can. I will tell you, I won't tell you what or anything else, and it has nothing to do with his size or anything like that. But Michael Rothstein trying to bully the coach of the team is like the scrawniest little weakling trying to bully the giant center on the football team. I'm not meaning because of size. I'm not meaning because I'm just, there's a whole bunch of backstory there where it's from the coach's side. I can see where not humiliating may be too strong, but it's definitely in that vein. Okay. So when you get a guy like Rothstein asking those kinds of questions, I'll tell you what, if I was in the coach's position, I would not have been nearly as composed as he was in his answer. And that's, I'll leave it at that. But, you know, if the press room's a funny place. It is a funny place. You've been there, Case. You had a good time, right?
Yeah, it was great.
Why didn't you ask a question and get your name famous from Coach Patricia, make him scream at you?
Because that would have, I was about to say, that would have... one point he tried to that he brought up was the conservative play calling in the fourth quarter, but I'm not sure that's entirely true. And I know that a lot of Lions fans have been saying that over and over and over again, that it was conservative play calling that killed this. Lions were up 23-6, right? Mm-hmm. Entering the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Our first drive of the fourth quarter was almost entirely pass plays. They didn't take their foot off the gas initially. Granted, they ran more run plays on later drives, although some of those were successful run plays when Adrian Peterson was picking up chunk yardage. But I mean, I think that's possibly an overstated point, that it was specifically the conservative run, specifically the conservative play calling on the offense, particularly, that lost them the game. because I don't think their offensive game plan changed that much. It just didn't quite work as well.
Can I bounce to the defensive side and give people some perspective as well?
Perspective.
If you want to really get hammered on the defense and you want to say, oh, no, it wasn't that big a deal, or it was just the injuries are an excuse, let me tell you who was on the field for the last drive for the Lions on defense. Romeo Okwara, Julian Okwara, John Pennacini, Nick Williams, Reggie Ragland, Jelani Tavai, Amani Arawarie, Tony McRae, Daryl Roberts, Will Harris, and Duran Harmon. Is that a first-team defense anywhere, really?
There's like two starters in there.
Really?
Harmon is a starter.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think if anybody else is there.
I think I said call him Duran to him at Duran. But at least I got Imani's name right. I'm just going to tell you
Arawarie is a starter. Yeah. So two. I was right.
Yeah. That's not a defense that you'd want to field against anything. But yet there we are in a position to put those guys against a team who, as we talked about earlier in the show, were dropping amazing dimes from Mitch Trubisky that were impossible, that nobody would expect, right? What did we say? Bottom five or top 5% of impossible plays landing right there. It's just, I don't know how you what you expect to do when that's the team you have on the field. So there's perspective here. It's week one. Week one is always a crap show. It's always, as we say, fool's gold. I think there's, oh yeah, it was Corey Unlin's first game that he called defense in his life too. So there's that. A lot of things came together here. I'll put one more thing. Caller, just hold on 1 second and we'll get to you. I just want to put one more thing out there. I know it's a long time ago, but we don't have a whole lot of years to use. But in the 1 year in anyone that's listening's lifetime that the Lions won a playoff game, the first game of the season, they lost 45-0. Okay? And then they made the playoffs. This absolute freak out that I'm seeing, the people treating the players like shit, treating anyone who has any kind of trying to have a sense of, hey, let's walk it back and let's calm this down. It's just sports, guys, number one. Let's, after the year we've had, let's just be happy we're looking at football, right? But let's not hurt ourselves. Let's not have aneurysms and heart attacks and crazy things because we've had this sedentary COVID lifestyle. Let's not put our whole lives around this and tear other people down. If we want to be angry, that's great. If you're demanding wins, there's all kinds of great teams out there that play football that you can go follow and get wins if that's what it's all about. For me, fandom's about a whole lot more. We knew this coach had a 50-50 chance of making it through the year. Either he was going to do well and keep his job or he wasn't. Game one looks like, hey, we've got one data point now. But we know this is what the year is. Let it play out. There's no sense in flipping out and freaking out and being a lunatic right now over one game. We went to the playoffs after losing our first game 45-0 in recent history in my lifetime, in the time that everyone remembers when we went to the playoffs and won a game. Calm down. Take a breath. We are built better to take on the Packers than we are the Bears. And I know it sounds crazy, but matchups matter. So there we go. Hey, caller, how you doing? What's your name? What are you up to? You should be drinking if you're not. What's going on?
Hey, this is Chris R.
Hey, Chris, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, all things considered. So, anyway, I just heard you guys talking about the consumer and play calling. I had to call in immediately because I have two things that I think really need to kind of be put in perspective regarding the offensive play calling specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first thing I have is I shared this chart in the Slack chat. And it's called neutral situation pass rate. And basically what it is, it's how often a team passes the ball compared to the run, so like a pass run percentage,
mm-hmm.
when there is like outside of 2 minutes left to go or less than a half. So basically like most 2 minute drills and other things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions were number three for highest pass percentage plays this week. The only two teams that were higher were the Seattle Seahawks and Philadelphia Eagles. So, I mean, for people complaining, and we're talking up until the 2 minute warning. So we're talking like when we were up by 14 or 17 or 7 or however much that was. Like that whole fourth quarter included, now obviously, again, that includes first three quarters as well. But we did not have any issues with not passing the ball enough. In fact, I would argue that with the success our run game had with Adrian Peterson, we probably could have ran the ball a lot more than we did, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I wanted to point out, too, is that if you're the OC, like just putting yourself in Darren Bubba's shoes for a minute here, if you're the OC of a team who was up by 17 points in the fourth quarter, three scores, your quarterback is not playing his best game. Admittedly, Matthew Stafford was not at the top of his game, as you guys pointed out earlier in the show. Receivers were not playing well. We didn't have Kenny Galladay. You guys already talked about the struggles Cephas had. Marvin Jones was not winning his battles against Fuller. And the running backs were doing really, really well. The defense banged up, lost Collins, lost Shufat, lost Coleman, didn't have Okuda. Trey Flowers was starting to get tired over the course of the game, as was Shelton. There's tons of guys that were out at the end of the game. And really, it's the first week of the season. You don't really have a whole lot of plays probably installed at this point in terms of game plan and getting the whole system set up, especially with new players.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Like, if you're Darrell Bubble, considering the struggles on defense and the injuries and considering what you have on offense, what do you expect them to do there?
Yeah, well, the first thing is I'm not walking in his shoes. I'm size 14. I can't handle that, those little feet. But no, they got to put that out there, you know. You know what they say. No, absolutely. I don't disagree with anything you're saying, Chris. And in the Slack this week, I mean, since the game, we've talked it through, a whole bunch of us. And you brought up some great points, and I think mm-hmm. I may have reiterated a couple of them here. I think you were the one that brought up the who was playing defense on the last drive. Right. And
I saw that somewhere. I forgot who it was that posted. I think it was Chris Burke.
Yeah. No, the Slack is great for, I mean, you guys are awesome, and we come up with some really, really real stuff. And I can't argue with what you've said. We've got it was a really, really weird week one. There's a lot of things that happen. Yep. We blew a lead. Yep, it really sucks, and it hurts to be a fan when that happens. But is it over? Is it over? Like, and let me ask you this, Chris: is it over when the Germans about Pearl Harbor? No, is it over enough to react the way the fans have reacted to this? Because am I wrong in thinking that this is just absolutely over the top?
So personally, I don't think so, but I will definitely say that it is not fun looking at this upcoming schedule.
No.
Like, Arizona is probably the worst possible matchup, and literally just, out of just the other 31 teams in the league.
Yeah, Arizona played well. Even Washington played well. The two teams that you'd think were, you know, our beneficiary type teams to play on our schedule. And
nope.
And I honestly would disagree with what you just said, Case. I don't think Arizona is a good matchup for us at all. That Cliff Kingsbury offense is.
Yeah, he was saying that you would have thought so, but seeing how they played
since they were both fourth in their division last year, that's all I meant by that. I didn't mean, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, hey, Chris, we're going to let you go, man. We got to hit one more of the calls and then get on with the show.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. Yeah, hopefully you guys have a fantastic rest of your day, and I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, thanks, brother. Thanks for calling in. All right, love and life inside. All right, last call coming. This one's a little shorter, but I absolutely love this caller. He's one of my favorites. We'll hit it right now.
What up, Chris and Case? This is Roche from Phoenix.
Roche.
I'm just out here. I just listened to that podcast, that after show podcast for the game one. I know the outcome wasn't good, but I'm all about the positive vibes. And I don't think it was mentioned how Marvin Jones chucking, oh boy.
Sure did.
After that catch, I mean, just lowered that shoulder and just chucked him. Put that boy on his pants. Talking about no pants, that man had no pants. I just wanted that to kind of be talked about, be highlighted a little bit. I know after the game, you know, the podcast isn't that long and you guys don't talk about everything, but let's just not overlook that. I know that game, like, the whole Lions like a whole boost. You know what I mean? It definitely gave the fans a boost because me and my homeboy at the bar, we were geeked up. That was crazy. But I just don't want that to be overlooked. There's some good things out there. You know what I mean? We could definitely build on it. So, bruh, I don't know. I'm still kind of hyped up over that hit. That was great. Shut up.
All right. Hey, Roche, thanks again for calling, man. I love Roche because, number one, he always finds something good, and he always finds something no one's talking about. That Marvin hit was just awesome.
It was absolutely amazing. And you all know that I love Marvin Jones, so, like, I was geeked out by that for sure.
I wasn't aware. Okay.
No, I was geeked out by that. Yeah. I was through the first, what was it, quarter and a half when he hadn't been targeted, I was like, come on, man. This is your wide receiver one opportunity type stuff coming up. And he never really truly was able to get those numbers out of this game, but at least he made that one impact.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, that was good to see. All right. So look, and I want to kind of end where my head's been at this. We knew we had a coach that was on a hot seat. We knew that it was possible that he wasn't going to win this year. Freaking out after the first five games isn't going to do any good. So you get an interim coach. Now what? What do you gain from that? Right? You don't gain anything. They're not going to be around for a long time. If Patricia's gone, you know you're getting a new GM too. You're not going to hire them now. There's a lot of work that has to go into all of that. And really, the people you're going to get, you're probably not going to hire until right before Super Bowl week. If you're going to get your people. So there's no need to pull the trigger on this. Like I said, I'm not saying we're going to beat the Packers, and we'll talk about how we'll do it against the Packers later. But this is just a thing where this is a team that that is what it was in game one, and it'll take a couple games to find out where they really are. And just like last season and the season before, it really sucks that they've got the toughest part of their schedule in the first couple of games. Hey, caller, what's your name? What's going on? How much have you had to drink? Let's put that there, too.
Hey, Chris and Case. It's James from Australia. How are y'all? I'll try not to
get on the
phone. All right, Case.
Let's not get ourselves
the language. Watch language. All right, hold up.
What's up, James? How you doing, man?
So, incredibly frustrating game. I haven't listened all the time at this stage. So I don't know what you guys have talked about. I'm going to go back and listen to it all. But obviously, frustrating game. I was throwing the remote at the TV at 6 o'clock in the morning here, watching it. But there's so many positives to take out of the game. What I didn't like and what I wanted to bring up was with Patricia and his post-game press conference with I think I can't remember the question who asked it about, clutch and being when they're losing games in the fourth quarter and whatnot, and his answer to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been a fan of Matt Patricia, but get your head out of your ass, mate. Like, honestly, like, to say that sort of answer where you've lost that many games in 2 years in the fourth quarter and then just back yourself, like, pull it out, mate. You've got to change something. Like, something has to change. And I get that, we're 17 points up or whatever, or three scores, and need to, you take time off the clock and that sort of stuff. But there is time to do things. And I think you need to put a bit of trust in Stafford as a quarterback. You're paying him however much every year. And he is a very good quarterback. So I think we need to put a bit more trust in him, as well as, run the clock and all that sort of stuff. But I think they pulled the trigger took the foot off the gas a bit too early. As well, obviously I've actually forgotten what I said, but yeah, that's sort of what I want to say about Patricia.
Was it because a big truck drove by and did a see you next Tuesday? Was that what it was?
It might have been.
How's the weed in Australia? I'm just asking.
What's that? Sorry?
Nothing. I'm just checking out the streets of Australia. I don't know what it's like to drive there.
We're on the wrong side to you guys over there, but it's very quiet. I'm in Melbourne here, and we're all in lockdown, so there's not much going on with COVID and everything like that. So we're in full lockdown. So
all right.
But yeah, that's all I wanted to say with Patricia, and then
I think you're absolutely right. The idea of him kind of like trying to pull out his ball sack and show how big it was about a play that happened with a different team a long time ago that some people might say is luck, or that Seattle pulled the wrong thing, was not a good move. But I understand where it came from. It was a bad answer to a bad question with ill intent. And I think there was ill intent meant back in his answer. I don't care really about Michael Rothstein or his feelings or his role in the room. I feel like you're in there as, you know, maybe I'm just freaking old. There was a time, you know, I think back and it is, but like I grew up there used to be black and white TV and stuff, right? Back when I was growing up, and you used to watch and you'd see like the press when they were asking the tough questions and going after the story, right? They had the fedora on with the card on thing, right? It's old school stuff, but there was the whole crazy Atlantic accent. There was still an element of respect, even when you were hanging someone out to dry, even when you were cornering them to get an answer to a difficult question that they had to be held accountable for. It was done with a level of respect. And what we're not seeing out of, you know, and it's gone. It's not just sports. It's everywhere with the press, right? It's because I'm going to say it's with social media and everything else. How do you make a career? Oh, you just got to be Wolf Blitzer at the first, you know, when the guns are going off in CNN and get cut on TV. That's how you make your career. You get famous. Now it's how do you blow up on social media with something crazy? How do you get famous? I just think if there was a better element of respect between them, and frankly, I think from when Patricia got here with that freaking story about the assault from 179 years ago that never moved forward, the press started off on the wrong foot with him. And I think the press has to work, do a little better job. And Michael Rothstein taking his little pose, I think it reflects on who ESPN is actually right now as an organization. And that's that, right? It's just, it was a crappy question asked with malice and he reacted poorly. You look at how the fans 2 days later are reacting to the game. Imagine how they would have reacted if they got faced with a question like that right after the game that they coached. Sorry, it's just the way it is.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's probably, you know, two egos coming into it, you know, pulling their ball sack out and going, look at how big my balls are, and, you know, answering both of these sections and just going at each other. The other thing I did want to ask as well, like, you know, say if, you know, Patricia gets fired and all this sort of stuff mid-season, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, moving forward, what is the plan? Like, you know, do you, and with this defense that is so tailored for his scheme, what do you do? Like, what do you do? Do you keep Bob Quinn and then bring in another Belichick disciple that's, you know, similar with the scheme and maybe just bring in a new twist on it or whatever it might be? Do you do that? I'm not 100% sure. I'll ask that question, but I'll got to jump off and I'll leave you to it. But I'm just calling from work. So.
Lay the turd at the doorstep and run away. I get it. That's cool.
Absolutely. Exactly right. Exactly. A big spelly one.
All right, James. Thanks a lot, brother. We'll get to it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. See ya. Yeah, I'll prognosticate, and you can tell me where you think I'm wrong. I think the extra year that Patricia got is going to be at the expense of Bob Quinn. I think Bob Quinn goes with Patricia, and that's that. Unfortunately, I love the guy to death, and I love him as a quarterback, and I hate it, but where he is in his career, his age, and where we are with a brand new coach and a brand new GM, I don't think that Matthew Stafford will be here. I think he'll be traded away for whatever value we can get, which should be pretty good. I don't see us being so bad that we get Trev. And to be completely honest, as nice as Trev is, I don't think he's going to be the solution to our problems over the long haul. The real and most Lions case is we wind up with the fourth pick and we get like a Jared Goff type of a pick or something, or Trubisky, and then we build a whole team around something like that with all these picks and all this, and then a coach that's not proven and a GM that we, you know, because you never hire the best GMs because they're, no one's letting them go. They get paid whatever they want, and they always get make their money. So we've got to hit magically on a GM, we've got to hit magically on a coach, and we've got to hit magically on a quarterback after this year. If you think it's bad now and you want to burn down, I'm just saying, close up shop, head on over, go look at the Chiefs roster and pick a team if you need wins, because you're going to be a couple years and the things have to really, really lock together well and work together well in order for it to go. I really think that people should be freaking praying their head off right now, religious or not, and screaming that they hope that this was a fluke and Matt Patricia makes it and Bob Quinn makes it and work this thing out. Otherwise, it's just going to be a lot more years of exactly this feeling right here, except maybe more of the blowout side. Case, tell me I'm wrong.
You're not. What I mean, the best case scenario, I think, still involves some really terrible stuff if this is a Matt Patricia gets fired season. Because I agree, I don't think there's any possible way that Quinn survives it. No. I don't think that at all. So realistically, the best case scenario is that Quinn gets fired, they bring in somebody new, and I don't know who that is right now. I don't have a prediction on that, and if it looks like we're trending that direction over the rest of the season, we'll probably start to get some hints here and there of who those candidates might be. And we will discuss those, I'm certain, as well as the head coach options. I'm not going to get into that either. But you're going to see a fire sale like you've seen out of other teams. And that's not something the Lions have actually had to do in a long time. We haven't been a team like the Jags this year, where they're just shipping off every good player they have.
Miami.
And yeah. And somehow they won against the Colts, but that's a whole other story. I think that's a, if you want to talk about flukes, I think that's a fluke.
Yeah.
But
if you give up on players after game one, hey, fire Patricia, that'll teach them.
But
you give up on your coach after the first game, you've given up on your players then. At that point, you've really screwed
the pool. How much do you think we can get for Frank Ragnow? How much do you think we can get for Trey Flowers? Yeah. How much do you think we can get for shit? How much do you think we can get for Jeff Okuda? And do we ever, we don't re-sign Kenny Galladay. He hits the market. So, yeah. I mean, if what you're hoping for is Patricia to fail, you have to recognize all of the other names that are going to get tossed out in this situation. You have to come to terms with that. And if you've come to terms with that, that's great for you. But that is a difficult ask to look at all of the stars that we've grown to love, and they're gone. They're all going to be gone. We're not, yeah, I mean, Stafford is obviously the top of all of them, but
yeah. Yeah, no, that's the that's it. That's what you're going to get. So, if this win hurt that bad, get ready for a whole lot more if the Patricia fire bandwagon goes on. That's just the opinions that we have. Of course, I haven't been wrong yet this year, so we're due. So we could be wrong on that one, but I really don't think so. I think that's a package deal. I think the kind of nice deal that Patricia got was Quinn trading in his capital with it together. So, and that is probably really so. Whatever happens, whatever you do, don't treat other fans or the players bad. That's all I ask. Treat people. People have their opinions. People are all mad, and being that troll under someone else's bridge is you're just a jerk. Don't do that. Treat people nice. People are all going through something that you don't know. Just treat them better. This is not a time to be a bad person. So there you go. You know what you can do to calm down after all that, Case?
No, but you're going to tell me.
I'm going to tell you. Everybody's favorite, CBD. Get that anxiety. Get that anger. Chill all that stuff out and let it go. Go to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. I can't even say the words. Oh my God. Now I have to, it's the new R-O-R-E-A. it is the ultimate in anxiety, pain, and insomnia. I'm telling you, if you have any of those issues, jump on board cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. This stuff will take you. There's no high, right? It's not like smoking weed or anything like that. It's everything but that you get. You get the relaxed body state. You get muscle relaxation. The cream that you rub in, it works. It works freaking really, really good. This stuff is like Cheerios, if you ask me. it's really, really good. We'll help you out and help you with your sleep, pain, all that stuff. And like me trying to trap the COVID that I picked up, pounds that I picked up, working a little bit. I've been able to work out a lot more. I got my little dumbbell set over there. Why? Because I make the pain go away, because I don't like pain. So if you want to help out the show and you want to see what CBD can do for you, head on over to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. You get flipped right over to Diamond CBD. Top quality products. I've been through just about all the stuff they have to test it. And I originally tested it for my mother-in-law. She's quite old and quite ill, and I wanted to make sure that she wasn't getting ripped off. And I became not only the president of the tester club, but a member too. So cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. Thank you all. Do your thing. All right. All right. Let's talk about what's going on with the Lions since the game, outside of the game. There's some news that's been broken as well as some players. Justin Coleman straight to the IR. And it was because you broke his spirit, Case. You hurt his feelings, right?
I was so mad at him after he failed to grab that interception. I do think maybe it's my fault.
I'm certain of it. I'm absolutely certain of it. There you go. It's both. Justin Coleman's out probably 3 weeks at minimum, the way the IR works. So it'll be week four.
We'll hope for three.
Yeah, we actually hope to see him after the bye is really where to try to start looking for Justin. That hurts. That obviously hurts us a good bit. He's a key part of our defense and a needed part of our game. So that's a tough thing. But let's look, you know, from one man's injury to another, it could maybe be helpful. Skipping ahead just a little bit in our schedule to week four, you've got Michael Thomas with a severe high ankle sprain. I would think that he is going to be limited at best when we play, if not completely out. Don't like to cheer a man's injury by any stretch of the imagination. Michael Thomas is an electric player, fun to watch, but he's not fun to watch doing things against the Lions, right?
Yeah, we always try to take that pragmatic look at, you know, we're not thrilled a guy got it hurt, but it's a reality of the game, and we just have to accept the way that it impacts the game.
Yeah,
and we have certainly had our fair share.
God, yeah, we have. We got that. We got the Buccaneers are hurting. Boy, we penciled that in as a hugely difficult game for the team. I'm rethinking that after seeing. Now, they did play the Saints, right? And the Saints the Saints are a good team. But, hey, they are definitely beatable. Tom Brady was.
Almost.
I love Tom Brady. I'm just because I've said it a million times, right? He's got everything a teenage boy would want. And I'm inherently 12 forever. But I also have this Schadenfreude side of me, and I love sorry, I have to say it right, Schadenfreude. I have that side of me. I just love when he's angry because he gets so over the top. I imagine him, if he could tweet at that moment, some of the most crazy dumb fucking shit would come out ever. So there you go. So we got some stuff to look forward there. Anything else, Case, around the league kind of news that we want to hear?
Just a little, like, we talked with Chris. Arizona and Washington both looked good, which isn't great for us. Obviously, well, okay, we're about to hit around the division, right? So, I don't want to
we got a couple, two things we're going to hit before that.
Well, I'll save it regardless. So,
okay.
I mean, as in terms of the things that immediately impact us, that's the majority of it. So,
okay. Let's see. Let's get them. Check the chat. I can hear you. Okay, so I want to talk about something we got coming up, and this is starting to come together, and it's coming together. We toes. Oh my goodness, we teased it on the post game show, but I want to get in a little bit more and give you guys a sense of where we're going and what we're doing, because we're counting on you. You guys, you all, guys, gals, all of you listening can help. We just put in the paperwork today with St. Jude. We're getting the St. Jude fundraiser going again. We wanted to do it right around the time of, you know, the whole combine and everything else like we did the first year. This year, COVID really kind of wrecked the plans, and we started rethinking it and really kind of building it bigger and better. We raised almost $7,500 last time with you guys' help. It was really, really something special, and it was just amazing that we could do that. This year, we're going bigger, and there's a couple things we're going to talk about today that are just about locked in. But we'll give you the concept of what we're working on, and would love to hear your reaction. Love to see what you guys think and how you may be able to help, right? Because there's a lot to do here. We're talking about Christmas for the Kids is the name of the fundraiser that we're going to call it. It's for St. Jude, all for St. Jude. And it's for the kids, right? We're going to try to get them better for Christmas. And we're going to kick off this year with something a little different. We're still going to do the auction. We're still going to raise money and all that like we do. But we're going to kick off with a 24-hour podcast-a-thon. Case and I, we may ever have a couple other cast of characters join us, are going to podcast YouTube stream for 24 hours straight. And we're going to do our best to raise money along that time. Everything in Super Chat. We're working to get Google on that with us. Every dollar, they won't take a fee. All that will go straight to St. Jude. All the money we'll have is a direct donation that'll go straight to St. Jude. And we're working with everybody we can find. And if you've got the Rolodex, this is the time to open it up and help out. To have celebrities, businesses, generous people, anybody at all, call in to donate auction items that we'll put up on the auction block after the podcast-a-thon kicks everything off, and we will auction those off. We're talking jerseys. We've got a couple other things that are like blow your mind huge kind of stuff that we are going to put out there. I'm not underselling when I say blow your mind huge. I already started talking to Blandino. There's a lot of just great, great stuff going on. So we're going to have a lot of stuff already, but we want you to help, right? This is it. Our goal, like I said, we almost hit 7,500. It was us. So we kind of threw it together on a whim, but just inspired by Matt Patricia and his donation at the Combine with Run Rich Run thing. And we just got together and did that. This year, we want to shoot for 25 grand, guys. And we think we're going to have the stuff to do it. But like I said, we're looking for your help. We're looking for your business, you personally, anything to add to the auction to help us raise money. We'll put that up. We're going to be talking to the Lions organization. We're talking to the Red Wings organization. If you have people at the Pistons, I don't have anyone there, I know. Across the board, we want to try to make this as big and as bold as we can to raise money for these kids. So, coming up, we're looking at November 6th. We've not locked in. We're 99% locked in for the podcast-a-thon. We'll start at 8 in the morning and go to 8 in the next morning. or 9 in the morning and go to 9 the next morning Eastern.
You're getting...
Yeah, 8 Central for Case.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to town. We're going to have a lot of stuff, a lot of interviews and everything. But if you know people, you know guys, get them on. We want to talk to them. We want to interview them. We want to find out their story. We want to know if we can get stuff from them for the auction. This is for the kids, and that's what we're after, is every penny, every single penny goes to the kids. All the overhead, we're fronting from the show. That's our cost. So 100% of what raised goes there. So there we are. That's the big thing. We're really excited. It always feels good to do the St. Jude thing. It's great to get on it again. And this year we've set our sights really, really high, and we're hoping you guys can help us out. So it's a team effort, like putting the show together. We talk about, right, we rely on you guys to do this and your feedback to make the show what it is. We're relying on you guys to help us make this the very, very best, very best fundraiser for those kids that we can do it. All right. Christmas for the Kids coming up. We'll let you know more details as we get them. All right. The next thing we're going to talk about is everybody's best friend. This is the greatest news. Let me make sure he hasn't texted me back, because I was talking to him last night. No, he can't. Okay. I tried to get Blandino on for this. Like I said, I was talking to him last night. We were talking about the St. Jude thing and working some stuff out. And then this Cleve Blakeman gets assigned to the Lions next week for the Packers game again. And I was like, Dean, can we do a call? I didn't want to surprise him with this one, because this one's an angry call, all right? This is we're gonna get mad, Dean. How in the world does Cleet Blakeman get assigned to our game? And I will get something. Maybe I'll get him on Friday. Maybe he'll figure out how to dodge the vegetables then when we do the pregame. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how he gets assigned after that shit show. He should be banned from doing Lions games for like 3 years, right?
I mean, I'd like to think so.
He's lucky there's no fans in the stadium, because there would be no Packers fans at Lambeau Field. The Lions fans would get every single bus in the tri-state area and go over there, and they would hunt this guy, right? I mean, they would just put the juice to him. He does not deserve this. He doesn't deserve, not only doesn't deserve this game, he's highly questionable as an official in the NFL, period, in my book.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested to hear what Dean has to say.
Yeah. All I know, all right, I'm going to set it up. You didn't help me with this, but I got a punchline for this. Right?
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. What do you?
It's okay. You didn't know the joke. You just had to say something about cleat. But anyway, basically what I'm hearing is Jamie Collins should put a little bit more weight into it this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. That's all right. Right? Yeah. All right, come on.
Maybe like tackle a running back out of bounds and trip and
tackle cleat out of bounds and put somebody else in his place. All right. Yeah, that's that. Sorry, guys. I tried.
I'm sorry that I ruined your joke, everyone.
Yeah.
I've ruined a lot of my own. So.
All right. Let's quick talk about the preview of the Lions Packers. This game is an interesting one, my friend. Here's the big deal. We did this when we, two seasons ago. We got smoked, and it was against the New England Patriots. And I asked, what if they beat the Patriots? And everyone was like, no. I mean, I know. But just imagine, what if, right? And then it happened. And I'm not saying I made it happen, but I'm saying, holy cow, everybody's thinking on the team turned around. It was an absolute 180. And it's going to be, if something, and that's what I thought, with how far in the ditch people are this time, the absolute turnaround that would happen if we beat the Packers, there would still be that same group, negative Nellies or whatever. But the people who would fire Patricia, some of those same people are going to have completely spun on their heel and say, we got it. We got the Packers. We got it this time, right?
Yeah. Especially if the Bears were to lose to the Giants or something.
Oh, God, yeah.
But it's, we talk about every season, we talk about trap games because every season, it seems like we have one moment in time where we're playing really well, and we start looking at, who's the most unlikely team to beat us, and then fans start freaking out and building their own, paranoia about that being a trap game. And I'm not saying that those games always go in our favor.
Yeah, well, maybe Chicago was our trap game this year.
I suspect there are Packer fans out there who are having that same little conniption right now, because Packers looked great, but do you expect them to look that great 2 weeks in a row? And because they sure looked a lot better than they did, most games last season, you would expect some regression to the mean. So. Mm-hmm.
And we've got Don with the line. Thank you, Don. Don's been great in the chat. Early line is 6.5. That's at home, so it's 3.5. That's actually not that big. I would expect it to be larger after the burger they hung on the Vikings killer defense last week.
And we'll be paying very close attention to the injury report as the week goes on, too.
Their O-line got decimated, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so they're starting right tackle.
That's called setting somebody up, just so you know. Go ahead. That's what you could have done for my joke. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I set you up. That was it. I was just saying, that's how you set someone up. You could have done that for my joke. Sorry. I'm kicking in the begonias. Go ahead.
I'll try to learn. I mean, we've been at it this long. If I haven't learned yet, it's not going to happen.
Neither one of us have moved a whole lot, my friend. Stubborn old bastards we are. All right, go ahead.
Right. Okay, so and the names are totally escaping me at the moment because I'd never heard of any of them before, but their starting right guard, or the guy who started for them at right guard this past week anyway, is out for the year. It sounds like, I shouldn't jump to too many conclusions, it sounds like he is probably going to miss the season.
Is it Lane Taylor?
Maybe. Is that the one?
I'm hoping there's a spell check error in the chat. I'm totally cheating off of Chris Robbins.
Yeah. Lane Taylor sounds right. Okay, thank you. And then as Chris also mentioned in the chat, Rick Wagner did not start week one. Nope. They had another dude in at right tackle, mm-hmm. another guy whose name I didn't know. So I have a lot to learn this week about who is who. It was a surprise, but he got dinged up. The replacement got dinged up, but it sounds like a minor injury. And the big thing is they're already out there right starting guard. So the right side of the line with Rick Wagner, and we know that Rick Wagner is okay, mm-hmm. but not great. And starting right guard, the right side of their line is going to be problematic for them this week. So
yeah,
if we had, you know,
aren't they starting a rookie on the left side, a guard or tackle too? Aren't they?
Oh Jesus, you're asking me so many questions. I looked this up right before we went on.
Oh my God, this is the lack of professionalism.
You know what? I'll be honest. After the game Sunday, I didn't want to think about football. So a couple hours before the show, I started Googling things.
But you started feeling good about football again, didn't you? I mean, didn't you like start thinking like, there's football?
Hey, for anyone who's in the YouTube chat, Chris Robbins has us covered. We got the whole left side up to the center is the same. Veterans. All right. But the right side will be the interesting story this week. I think, you know, if there is an opportunity for the Lions to take advantage of something unexpected, it would be like moving Trey Flowers over there and getting him involved on that side of the ball, getting some blitzes on that side of the ball where their guys are not expecting it, that kind of thing. Whether or not we'll be facing Rick Wagner as they're starting anywhere on the right side of their line will be a good, interesting storyline going up the week, obviously, because we're somewhat familiar with him. So,
yeah. All right. There we go. Anything, what about the secondary? Do we have anything to fear from the Green Bay second? Green Bay has definitely been a team of regression this year, and then they come out and they just hung the big one on Minnesota. That's what was so crazy. This is one that nobody expected. Minnesota's vaunted defense. It was going to be a scratch and claw, black and blue division, head banging, knuckle buster, bruised up. Nope. We're just gonna score a million points.
It feels like a emotional victory type thing for Aaron Rodgers. And I'm never sure whether or not those kind of things are sustainable. I'm not sure if what, and that's not to say I don't think he can't do as well against our secondary, especially depending on what secondary we roll out there next week. But the Packers secondary was also playing very well. They had they had an interception, quite a few pass breakups. They did allow quite a few yards, but a lot of that was garbage time. Mm-hmm. So
all I know about Aaron Rodgers is the only love he has in his life is the guy who's taken his job.
I fear Jair Alexander.
Yes,
for the Packers.
Absolutely.
A little bit.
Yep.
Hopefully we have Kenny back because I think Kenny can win those matchups.
Yeah, for sure. Even if not, to have Kenny and Marvin both out there, whoever Jair isn't on. Right. We got a better chance.
So. I don't think the Vikings, I mean, Adam Thielen is a really, really good receiver. Don't get me wrong, but Kenny Galladay is a completely different beast. And yep. I think Kenny Galladay is a better matchup against one-on-one coverage than Adam Thielen is, just because Kenny can come down with almost anything.
Yeah, they trained him in college to do just that, thanks to the poor quarterback play. All right, with that, that's the Lions-Packers preview. We're going to do a quick rundown, but the only way we do the rundown on the other games in the division is by taking you
around the division!
Don't fuck around!
Okay, Stone F around. Let's do it. Talk about it. Tell us what's up. You're sitting there.
Well, I mean, we already covered
crazy green hat.
Essentially the Packers and the Vikings here. The Packers, obviously, we talked about their OL injury stuff. That's going to be the big issue for them going forward. It was already a concern for them on that side of the line. So that could be a little bit of a disaster, but that's essentially all I have to say, other than it was a surprise in a way return to greatness for Aaron Rodgers that we haven't seen in a while. He hasn't played at that level for most of the last couple of years. That sucks. I hate that. Hopefully that comes to an end immediately.
Yep.
Vikings didn't have much in the way of injury news. Bears didn't have much in the way of injury news. Obviously the Bears beat us. Bears are going to play the New York Giants this week.
Who looked like a relatively stout team?
They had some moments. I mean, they still have Saquon Barkley, and I mean, how are you going to argue with Saquon Barkley? They lost to the Steelers. The Giants did, but I mean, they'll still give the Bears a run for their money.
I got to tell you, just really quick. I apologize. Just on the Saquon Barkley thing, Chris Robbins has an article coming out on DetroitLionsPodcast.com tomorrow that includes Saquon. So keep your eyes open for that in the morning. It will drop. It will drop. And you will see it. I said it before you put it in the chat, Chris. You know that. All right, go ahead. Okay, sorry.
That's all good. The Vikings are playing the Colts, which I would have thought would be a pretty close game, but now it's hard not to see the Vikings coming away with it just because of how bad Phillip Rivers looks right now. But again, you know, we can't say for another team something different than what we say for our team. It was week one. Maybe the week one weirdness got to the Colts. So
interesting. Okay. All right. So there you go. The Giants are a stout team. I thought they looked pretty good. I mean, Danny Dimes he's still young. Again, with Matthew Stafford gone, maybe we could end up with a Danny Dimes if you get your wish to fire Patricia right away. I'm just telling you, there's a whole lot of things that had to come together perfectly for this team. So
if we draft Trey Lance, this is going to get to be a weird podcast.
It may have to happen. It may be the right thing to do. Right. Time will tell us as this season goes on, but I just wouldn't wish for it yet. My hopes and dreams and wishes would be in a different direction because it's a big undertaking. This isn't, hey, in 3 years, we're going to be contenders because that's what real coaches and GMs, and because you don't know if you're getting a real coach and GM and quarterback and all that.
Here's the thing. We had Wes complaining early on in the show that my hat looked too much like a Packers hat. But if we ended up drafting Trey Lance, if we ended up with like the fourth overall pick and we drafted Trey Lance, who is projected as coming out of NDSU, North Dakota State University, same as Carson Wentz. It's my hometown, Fargo. It is an FBS, I think.
Oh.
Am I getting that right?
Yes.
I always get them mixed up. If they pick up Trey Lance, like number four, number five overall, and he ends up being the star that he is being talked about being,
they're saying
he's even better than Carson Wentz.
Go from NDSU from SDSU.
I'm going to be wearing NDSU gear, and you guys have to understand NDSU colors are green and gold.
And it's SDSU that's the Jackrabbits, right?
Yeah.
And NDSU is the
Bison.
Oh God! Yeah, I tell you,
and they are the great. They are the best team in FBS history. I mean, they have just dominated for a decade now.
I was going to say they've been good for a long time,
They were when I was growing up. They were shit when I was growing up. Mm. But
it's the opposite. Michigan used to be great, and they've been shit ever since.
I mean, a lot of kids that I went to high school ended up playing for the Bison, you know, but that was a long time ago.
That's when they were crap.
That was a different era.
All right. Well, at least they're on the same team. Let's take a really quick. I got to talk about Fanatics. If you want to get your Lions gear or Pistons gear or Tigers gear or Michigan or Michigan State or any kind of college, any kind of gear related to your sports and any sport, it could be lacrosse, college lacrosse, got you covered. go to fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. Fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. They will give us a kickback on your purchase. It won't cost you anymore. They just give us a little bit of the profit. They don't get to muckle off with all that money on their own. It helps support the show and what we bring for you guys. Also, it's the same kind of deal on Amazon. Amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. If you go there, and the links are on the website as well. You can go straight to the website or just type those into your browser. Amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. They give us a kickback, and Bald Headed Bezos doesn't keep all your money. We get a little bit, just a little pinch to make the show keep go. And Amazon's where everything's at. Everything you buy, I mean, I'm buying something there at least once, twice a week. You should be too. And you should be using that Amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com link. The end. All right. Let's see. We got Cleat. Yeah, I got my bad joke set up. We got around the division. We did a QRD on the other games in the division. Case, I think we covered everything.
I think we did it.
Wow. Hour and a half.
I'm ready to throw in the towel.
Yeah. What's Amazon? Sean, I love you. Go to Amazon or go to Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com and find out. That's what I'm telling you. You'll know all you ever needed to know. All right. Hey, everyone, thanks a lot. And you know what? The one thing I want to say is you can disagree with us. It's cool about Patricia and everything else. I get wanting to be mad and I get wanting to throw in the towel and stuff. And we can be in different places. But please, please, please treat your fellow fans with a little bit of love and respect. Everyone deserves it, man. Everybody's going through their own thing. So let's do it. Don't beat up on the players on Twitter. That's a dick move. That's just stupid.
No matter you beat us. Just give it to us, not them.
Yeah.
We could take it. It's not going to affect them if you know, comes to us.
So. Yeah, it hit it real quick in the chat there, Robbins, if you've got something new. I don't know. But look, we are all in this together. Venting is great. If you're angry, that's great. If you don't agree with somebody else's anger, just say, hey, I disagree. I'm angry because of this, or I'm not angry, whatever. But don't tear each other up. Right. That's one of the things that's so great about the Slack is it's completely not personal and people talk through it. And there's times they agree to disagree, but everyone treats each other as a person. And it's the ideal. It's the ideal life. I need this. I need to spread this to everybody. All right. Let's do it. And I'm telling you again, if they win this game, if they beat the Packers, then we can blow up and be happy. We can go crazy and think, what kind of nuts are we? Because we have to beat a love of the Lions. All right, with that, we're going to call it a show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thanks, as you always do, for telling friends. It's the biggest compliment you can give is to tell your friends to listen into the show. You guys are great. Hattori, we will bring in Dean. I tried to get him in today, and he couldn't squeeze it. I took too much of his time last night, I think. I want to shoot for Friday for the pregame show, okay? And we'll see what we can do about getting Dino in there to talk about Blakeman, because we'll get all about the assignments and all that stuff. All right, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get a dollar a month or more. We love more. You get access to that Slack chat that we talk about, most intelligent chat on the internet related to the Lions and maybe even to rocket science too. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast, and on the Twitter machine at DET Lions Podcast, the very, very, very best place to see Case.
Ready for week one.
Ready for week one. Still chomping at the bit. If you want to talk, you can call us on Skype. It's Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or hit us up on the Lions line. It's 929-33-LIONS. 929-335-4667. Also, go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Let us show up in your ears automatically. That'll remind you to go think about what you can help us scrounge up for St. Jude. And thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. No pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, baby. Because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.